Well, hello and welcome back. This is Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife, Vicky, we own and operate the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. It's located on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center in Church Hill. There we can wash your car by hand. We offer other services, and we use the money to support our family and the business and also to support this ministry. It is my calling by the Lord to preach His word in all of its fullness, leaving nothing out, which is why we do verse by verse Bible teaching. And we pick up where we left off yesterday. We are in the book of John, and we're in chapter 3, where Jesus is having a conversation with the Pharisee Nicodemus. We've talked quite a bit about Nicodemus in the last couple of messages. You can get those either by coming by the Wash and Word building and tuning your radio to 107.1. And if you're in the parking lot here, you can hear this message and other ones that are being broadcast this week. Of course, you can come back here at 8:30 every morning to hear a new verse-by-verse Bible message. You also are invited to come to the website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you'll find all the information about this business, and you can also download or listen to for free all of our archived verse-by-verse messages. And so here we see Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night, and Jesus is having a conversation with him. And in our last teaching, we ended up with Jesus' discussion where he alluded to how Moses had lifted up a snake in the Israel camp on a pole, and all of those who would gaze upon that snake would be healed of the snake bites that they were enduring at the time. Incidentally, that's the same snake and pole symbol you see on the back of a lot of ambulances. That's where they get that from. But and the reason Jesus alluded to that was because that act, that whole thing of holding up the snake and looking at it to be healed, was a foreshadowing of what Jesus came to do. And that's where he ended in verse 15, where he said that even the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. And now we get to that probably most famous verse in all of the Bible. And in John 3:16, we're going to read a couple of verses and continue our verse-by-verse teaching. Read it with me, because I know you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And we're going to stop right there, because really the scripture we just read is about as plain and as simple as it can get. I mean, how clear and easy can Jesus make it? You know, believe upon him and be saved, or not believe upon him and be condemned. It's and as simple and as easy and as seemingly clear that message is, we look around and we have a whole world full of sinners that are going to hell. And why is that? Well, I mean, the reasons are numerous, but the underlying reason behind every other reason as to why we have a world full of people on their way to hell lest they change their path is because the devil is working overtime to blind the world. That is what he's doing. That is his job. But I need you to remember something here today. The devil is always on the defense. He's always on the defensive. He's playing defense in this spiritual and natural battle. Remember that. You know, so often we think that we're fighting this spiritual war and we're trying to defend ourselves against his attacks. And sure, we can point to Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about all the armor and defending. But if you look at the main weapon in that armor, it's the sword. It's the offense. See, we are on the offensive, and the devil is on the defensive. It's not the other way around. And so often we have it where we think the devil is just coming at us and we're doing everything we can to fight him off. Listen, friends, the devil is a defeated foe. Jesus conquered him already on the cross. So he is, since that time, since the ascension of Jesus Christ, he's been on the defensive. He's doing everything he can to maintain and hold his ground in an already defeated war. It is you and I as Christians that take the torch and we take the light of Christ and we blaze into the darkness. We are the ones blazing a path. We are the ones advancing into the darkness. Matthew 11:12 says this, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it." Now, I've looked up that verse and its commentary so many times, and the best thing I can get out of that is that we possess the offense, and we are forcefully advancing the kingdom of heaven into enemy territory. In fact, it has been noted that, you know, that Jesus talks about the devil and about the kingdom of hell way more than he talks about the kingdom of heaven and his own Father in the Gospels. And that is what I also feel called to do, that my mission is to expose the darkness, to explain that the devil doesn't have the power that we give him, that we are the ones who are on the offensive. You see, Satan cannot create anything. He's not a creator. He's not God. He's not the antithesis of God. He can't create. He can only duplicate. You see, God moves and the devil responds. God isn't chasing after the devil, trying to put out the little fires that the devil is creating in one's life. No, God is moving and the devil is responding. It is a spiritual game of chess, and you and I are the pieces. But I tell you, fear not. Fear not, for checkmate is coming soon. Our king is coming back. He's already won the war, and we still fight the battles, but he's coming back to settle all things. God moves, and the devil responds. We are strategically placed, and we are being strategically placed for the greatest checkmate of all time, Armageddon and the second coming of our Lord. So remember that when you think about where you are in your life and what you are enduring. You are where you are for a reason. You are suffering what you are suffering for a reason. You are crying those tears for a reason. But I want you to consider that which we are reading. Because if you stand here as a Christian, remember the words of our Lord in Luke 10:20. He says, "Do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." You see, the disciples came back with such great reports of how they were casting out demons and, you know, the spirits were obeying what they were saying in the Lord's name. And Jesus said, look, don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that the battle is already won and that your names are already written in heaven. You know, when we do that, it puts a perspective in our lives. It puts a perspective in the things that we're enduring and that we are going through. And I'm not trying to downplay your struggles today. I know that there are people listening today that are going through some things, but always it could be worse. We could be dead in our sins. But we have gazed upon the one who has borne our sins, and we have been set free. So please tell me, what in comparison to that do we need to worry about to the point that it consumes us? I love what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4:17. He said that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You see, it's that heavenly mindset that helps us deal with our earthly struggles. But there are so many in this world are being deceived, that they're being lied to and blinded, because that is the devil's job. He is working overtime to blind the world. They have been bitten by the poisonous snake called sin and yet refuse to look upon the bronze snake we call Jesus. And brothers and sisters, the verdict is in. reading on in verse 19 of chapter 3 in the Gospel of John, it says, Jesus, he says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Again, this chapter goes back to that dirty four-letter F word, fear. And here Jesus talks about why men remain blinded in their sins, why people will not turn, as easy as John 3, 16 and 17 makes it, why they still won't turn to the Lord. And it's fear. Fear that their deeds will be exposed. And you know what? Guess what? They're going to be one day anyway. In Hebrews 4, 13, it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight, and everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So don't let sin keep you from coming to Christ. Your sin will be exposed anyway. You might as well have it forgiven and paid for while there's still time. But no, you grope around in darkness for fear of exposure, and it has a hold of you. But deeper than that, there's a different kind of fear that Jesus alluded to here, and that is the fear of giving them up. Jesus said that the light has come into the world, but men loved the darkness. So it isn't always about fear of being exposed. It's about fear of giving up the things that you enjoy doing, knowing them to be wrong. Look, people sin. You sin. I sin for one reason or another, and we like the way it feels. To expose the sin exposes the shame. But hey, who here hasn't dealt with shame before? But to stop it, to end the fun, to cease the enjoyment that sin offers and to repent, well, that is truly the scary part. You know, I don't want to know what your sins are. Because if I knew him, I probably wouldn't like you too much. And you don't want to know what my sins are, because if you knew them, you wouldn't waste another minute probably listening to me. But we don't focus on the sin. We focus on the sin forgiver. Today, I'm going to ask you to get serious about your relationship with the Lord. I'm going to ask you to get serious about what God has done for you in your life. The Lord has opened up a way, and all we have to do is release the burdens of the things that we are carrying around, things that are just weighing us down anyway, things that are creating so much turmoil in our life. Why not give them up? Why not allow God to forgive and to move you into a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ? There's a battle taking place between light and darkness. And in our next teaching, we're almost out of time, but we're going to get back to that battle of light and dark that Nicodemus is trying to wrap his mind around here. And he simply cannot, because he himself at this point in his life is blinded by the laws that have been written over hundreds of years, thousands of laws, all trying to enforce the Ten Commandments. And every single law that they rewrite, these spiritual leaders of Israel, only brought down more condemnation and more bondage to the people. And they were in such a state here in their time in history that Jesus came to liberate the entire nation of Israel. But thank God that they decided they would not accept their Messiah, because that opened up the door for you and I as sinning Gentiles to be welcomed into the covenant of the one and only God, Jesus Christ. So friends, I just thank you for tuning in, and we invite you, encourage you to come by the Wash and Word and let us work on your car to earn our money to support this ministry and our family. And you can join me again here at 8:30 Monday through Friday on this radio station for another verse-by-verse teaching until tomorrow, where we pick it up. You have a blessed day, and God bless.